This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
But when it comes to our belief in the existence of God, right, we are on common ground with them. We're actually on common ground with them. And their response to modern philosophy and atheism is actually much they're doing a better job at it than we are.
Assalamu alaikum, Ustad. Can you give me some advice?
Ustad,
you're past the point of advice.
In all seriousness, talking about the atheist specifically as far as this ayah went and the rejection, right? I wanted to know, because you might have perceived this in your travels, specifically with Australia, and I've been in the US as well, and we know that the atheist population over here is much, much higher and been going on for generations. And I understood from you today that we've got this French Revolution versus, do you call it?
Yeah.
So I understood that concept today as well, which was new to me. But what I wanted to know was, what would work? Like, for example, I've observed that when speaking to atheists or agnostics, they love the feeling of the appreciation of family that we have as Muslims, right? And from your observation, I want you to tell us specifically, if you know of something that, atheists are completely, they're very excited when they hear about Islam, specific aspects about Islam. So if you know from your experiences, and this will enable us to talk better with our atheist and agnostic neighbors who are in the millions over here in Australia.
Okay.
Thank you.
I used to have exchange with atheists decades ago. I don't do debate type stuff or those kinds of conversations much anymore. I do a lot of readings. I know people that are in that space that study even Ilmul Kalam and things like that and the Kalami arguments. One course that I really like recently came out by Sheikh Hamza Karamali. Those of you that are interested in understanding atheistic arguments and how to discuss them intelligently. He made a course on Basira Institute, the Basira Institute. It's called Why Islam is True. So he's taken the classical mutakallimin arguments and given a 2.0 to them. And he did a really good job with it, I think. It's called Why Islam is True. So that would be a nice place to start. But yeah, atheists, generally, they look at Muslims and say, I love how you guys eat your food. Oh, your family is it's so cozy. It's so warm. And they'll say all these things like, I'll tell you, at some level, I find it condescending. Because, Europeans and Americans, whoever, you know how they make Discovery Channel documentaries of animals? And they have the cameraman in the distance. Here we have the leopard perched in the deep grass. And he's off. And, remarkable, the work of nature. They'll have those. And then they'll have here we have the Muslims and their current culinary arts and the marvelous architecture of these mosques. And the family life, sitting on the floor with humility, praying to their God.
There's this implicit, superior species that's looking down on these Eastern cultures like they are looking at, the
animals in the savanna desert or in the Africa jungle. And it's just so fascinating. Your outfits are so fast. They're so cultural. They're so festive. I love your colors. And your recitation is so beautiful. It's so cool. Can we play that in our World Food Fest? Right? And Muslims are like, hey, they like our biryani. Oh my God, they like our biryani. This is so amazing. Allah gave us the most powerful message ever revealed. and we're happy that somebody likes our sandals or our, like, you know. So we buy into that, and I don't think that we need to pander to their interests so much, but we should be presenting our ideas intelligently, which is why I think in the modern age, studying people like Iqbal becomes all the more important, because I know young people are studying Islamic theology and they're studying Aqidah, and they're studying Aqidah writings from a few centuries ago, right? But more recent writers on Islamic theology, like Iqbal, have done some absolutely incredible work, and it never met the light of day because they're not considered traditional sources of knowledge. And I don't think that's fair. And I think we're the ones that are missing out. Also, it's really important, in my opinion, for those of you that are interested in this space, to study what Christians have been doing in terms of theology. I was going to talk about this tomorrow. I'll tell you just a hint about it today. We are different from the Christian religion and the Jewish religion completely. But when it comes to our belief in the existence of God, right, we are on common ground with them. We're actually on common ground with them. And their response to modern philosophy and atheism is actually much... they're doing a better job at it than we are in many ways. And their critique of modern thought, they're doing a better job of that, some Christians are, than we are. And actually on that front, ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa, cooperate. Take their arguments. Learn from them. No problem. And in history, they learn from us. They've done that before from us. And we may take some things from them too. It's perfectly fine. Nothing of shirk, nothing of kufr, nothing that violates our scripture. But some of the intellectual work they're doing in this space is actually very valuable. And we should be on a united front in those things. Anyway.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. There are almost 50,000 students around the world that are interested, on top of the students we have, in studying the Quran and its meanings and being able to learn that and share that with family and friends. And they need sponsorships, which is not very expensive. So if you can help sponsor students on Bayina TV, please do so and visit our sponsorship page. I appreciate it so much and pray that Allah gives our mission success and we're able to share the meanings of the Quran and the beauty of it the world over.